puts it in! The U.S. go up! What a goal from Carlos Bocanegra!
Moy will try a long hit! What a goal from Moy! This is spectacular! It's hit with no regard for humanity! Is this the moment for Shaqiri? Yes, it is! Switzerland! And Shaqiri has scored in the 90th minute! That was worth the price of admission alone!
This is Soccer Matters on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 92.5.
Brought to you by the Daspit Law Firm, DaspitLaw.com. From the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Glenn Davis.
All right, welcome into Soccer Matters here on ESPN 97.5. As always, presented by John Daspit and the Daspit Law Firm. Hey, some good news today. Tom Clare, great author friend from Manchester, England. Freddie Reyes came through his surgery. These are two men battling cancer, so we start off in a real positive here tonight. The University of Houston defeating Auburn today in the Birmingham Bowl, and a rest in peace to the legendary John Madden. The big news here tonight, though, the Houston Dynamo have made a hire. Paulo Nagamura, according to my sources, will be named the next coach of the Houston Dynamo, coming from Sporting Kansas City 2 in the USL Championship. I would imagine once this becomes more official through the Dynamo, they're going to present Nagamura. I would expect, you know, who knows, maybe in the beginning of January. Probably wouldn't happen this week. Nagamura is a former player, Chivas USA, the LA Galaxy. Was at Tigres for a season. He appeared 14 times there. Has won four trophies, two MLS Cups as a player, two Lamar Hunt U.S. Open Cups. Hardworking midfielder, you remember that. Very competitive, very feisty in his day as a player. He is only 38 years of age. 4 years at Sporting Kansas City, too. Now, I see a lot of people out there that are pointing to his record of 31-60-25. When you're a developmental team for a pro club and a reserve team, I think it's more important how many players are being helped through the process to get to the first team. So he's worked with guys like Gianluca Busio, who's playing in Italy, Jalen Lindsay, Daniel Shalloway, who was up for the league MVP this year. So he's worked with a lot of those guys. So have a lot of other people, quite frankly. But he's done a lot of work with them and has coached on a daily basis in the USL. Now, the other pro here is, and this is probably something likely that Pat Onstad leaned on also, he comes out of the Sporting Kansas City environment. Now, if you remember, and Peter Vermees, if you remember, Pat Onstad said, we want to be a very aggressive pressing team. Well, that's what Sporting Kansas City has been. And let's be honest, they've been one of the best at implementing the pressing game. So, you know, this is a guy that's worked with 15 homegrown players, 23 academy players, and has been a part of what is that next step to getting in the pro team, and then also dealing with players that come down, coming back from injury, some veterans and things like that. So that's what you got with Paulo Nagamura. Now I want to know what you have to say about it tonight. 713-780-3776. 713-780-3776. A lot of names were bandied around the Houston Dynamo when it would come to a potential coaching hire. Jaime Lozano had a lot of traction, the 43-year-old. People know him from playing at UNAM, played close to 200 games at UNAM, paid close to 100 at Cruz Azul. He was an under-20 coach at Querétaro and then was named the head coach there for a short period. He did not do well as a head coach, Jaime Lozano. Then won a bronze medal with Mexico at the Tokyo Olympics in front of no fans. So, you know, however you slice this, and I have said this repeatedly to my listening audience, the next coach will come with a big question mark. So for those of you who thought Pep Guardiola was going to come or Bob Bradley, not in the conversation. The type of coach the Dynamo were always going to get was a coach that needed opportunity. USL. Youth national team coach. assistant coach. So what were some of the other names that came up? Ezra Hendrickson went to Chicago. He was an assistant. Pat Noonan went to FC Cincinnati. He was an assistant. Pablo, and by the way, I think Pat Noonan, from what I understand, people have told me that he interviewed with the Houston Dynamo. Pablo Mastroianni, he interviewed for the Dynamo. He may have been their number one choice. The fact is, you probably, if you're Pat Onstad, you got a tough job. You probably didn't get your number one and two pick. And now there's only one team left in Major League Soccer without a head coach. That's LAFC. So let's take some of your calls. How do you feel about this? 713-780-3776. 713-780-3776. Paulo Nagamura has not coached in Major League Soccer. So this is kind of a hire, along with Pat Onstad. First role as a GM. Two guys getting their feet wet. Two guys going to be working together. And you remember the word Pat used, collaborator. He wanted a collaborator. He wanted a younger coach. He wanted a winner. He wanted MLS experience. We're going to replay Pat's interview in the second hour so I can remind you of some of the things that he said that he was looking for. But make no mistake, Pat Onstad, like many coaches, has to go to a different plan when you don't get the guy you want. Houston isn't exactly the number one destination for an established coach. And think about that. 713-780-3776 is the number to call in tonight. 713-780-3776. You know, a lot of you have been on the internet. A lot of you have talked it on the internet. Well, how about coming on the show and giving us your feelings about the new hire? It's Paulo Nagamura. It's the third Brazilian in the history of the league to get a coaching job. And I'm sure a lot of people out there may not remember. Ivo Wortmann of the Miami Fusion and a World Cup winner took the job at the Metro Stars in New York, Carlos Alberto Pereira, the Brazilian national team coach. So Nagamura becomes the third coach in Major League Soccer history to come from Brazil. He started as a youth player at Sao Paulo. I do remember talking about this on broadcast because from Sao Paulo, he was bought by Arsenal. And he played with the Arsenal under-19s. The question is, he seems to be the cultural fit that Pat Onstad wants. And he is the new head coach of the Houston Dynamo. And the Dynamo go into preseason at the end of January. You know, could he have interviewed better than Jaime Lozano and some of the other candidates? Sure. You know, there were a lot of things that we don't know that would influence the choice of picking a head coach. 713-780-3776. So there you got it. Paulo Nagamura. Now, the other news today was that I'm being told also that Kenny Bundy, who has been with the Dynamo Academy and has worked with some of the older age players, Kenny Bundy will become the head coach of the Dynamo 2 team. And I'm not sure about Los Dos because we're grabbing that from the LA Galaxy. Let's come up with our own. I prefer Dynamo 2, but anyway, that doesn't matter. The great news is finally we'll have an under-23 team, essentially your reserve team, right here in Houston, under the nose of the staff and the competitive side of the program, and an ability to monitor players every day. I'm going to apologize to all the past people that tried to convince me it was a good idea to have a team at RGV. I'm sorry. That's never a statement of saying you're serious about player development. Much of Houston is educated about the game of soccer. Much of Houston has a lot of people that make money off soccer and they're living off soccer and make their living in player development. So when you come out and you tell people that it's better to have your reserve team 6 hours away in the Rio Grande Valley, they are calling you know what on you. No question. So, this is a great development, and I'm excited because I think John Walker spoke about how This team will play some of its games down at the Sports Park, but also will play at BBVA Stadium. And this gives the fan base an opportunity to look at the up-and-comers and compare them to the first team and you know, debate whether somebody deserves an opportunity or not, or somebody should sign a professional contract. So having an under-23 team in Houston, now you can finally legitimize player development. This is exciting. And then you got to think over the years, think of all the dollars that have been left on the table when it comes to historically not being able to move players through to the first team and not being in what has become the buying and selling game of Major League Soccer. And yeah, it's time to change that. And yes, the pressure's on. And a great way to start changing it is to have an under-23 team that is in a place where you're going to be able to monitor your players. You're going to give academy players opportunity. It's going to be a good thing. There's nothing but a good thing there. But look, Paulo Nagamura, he knows it, is going to come with question marks. So you have to throw your support in now to Ted Siegel, Pat Onstad, and the new coach. But I'd love to hear what you have to say. 713-780-3776 is the number. Again, he coached Daniel Shalloway, Gianluca Busio, who's in the Serie A, Jalen Lindsay, the kid named Duke as well. And, you know, look, some may have wanted Jaime Lozano because of his playing career in Liga MX. At the end of the day, the choice was Paulo Nagamura. That's why Pat Onstad was hired. And just because he took a bronze in a gold medal game with under-23s, that doesn't legitimize him as a first-team coach either. He would have come with question marks as well. Bob Bradley goes to Toronto. Who do they sign? Insigne, who starts for the Italian national team. He's going to make like $13 million a year or something ridiculous. That's a different stratosphere. All right, we also have on the show, we're going to re-air some interviews later on in the show. Steve Clark, John Walker, we'll do the Pat Onstad interview. Also, Chris Bondi, I want to run that interview again because, again, that's another Houston area soccer player that grew up here who's now got a big job in college at UConn. Other news, Eric Quill will be an assistant at the Columbus Crew, ironically where Pat Onstad comes from. So, a lot going on. We're going to do another segment here. I'd love to take some phone calls. I want to get some of those very, very outspoken Dynamo fans to call in. Have a take. 713-780-3776. 713-780-3776. Soccer Matters. ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Houston Dynamo fans, you have a new coach. Paulo Nagamura, I want to hear from you.
You're listening to ESPN 97.5. You're listening to Soccer Matters on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 92.5.
Brought to you by the Daspit Law Firm. From the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Glenn Davis.
All right, welcome back to Soccer Matters here on ESPN 97.5, 92.5. We're going all the way down to Beaumont. Andrew Carlson behind the glass here tonight. Show is always presented by John Daspit and the Daspit Law Firm, DaspitLaw.com. They're bilingual. Give them a call, 713-322-HURT. They are personal injury attorneys. They'll take your case, get in a car accident, boat, motorcycle. Nobody wants these things to occur in their lives, but you need coverage. You need somebody who's going to work for you 24-7. And by the way, you need somebody who loves the game of soccer as well, because John and his firm, Daspit Law Firm, DaspitLaw.com, have gotten soccer on the airwaves here in Houston for years and in Austin as well on the sister show on the Horn in Austin, Texas. So a lot of tweets coming in. I would like to hear from you. Here's one from old soccer guy. He says, I'm confident the choice that's made will be helpful. Harry says, nothing against Coach Nagamura, but you're telling me that Bob Lilly, Mark Lowry, Neil Collins, Rick Shuntz don't have a better resume. This seems like a same old Dynamo hire. So I guess he's talking about USL coaches. So you can compare him to other USL coaches. Now, some of those coaches haven't been in a professional system. Nagamura's coaching the team completely differently. He's coaching it in a way where he's probably going to be judged 60-40 on helping guys get to the first team, because that's really the name of the game. Of course you want to win. I don't think there's any question. So that's a good take from Harry there. You could also mention Orange County's coach, Richard Chaplow. I think he mentioned Neil Collins, didn't he? Yeah, he did. 713-780-3776. 713-780-3776. Let's see. I think this is Ryan says, I would agree normally, but with those MLS two teams that don't care about winning, usually they care more about developing players for the first team, getting them minutes, which that is something that he did well with because he developed a lot of players for the first team. Okay, so some of the players that were under Paulo Nagamura's tutelage over 4 years were Busio, Jalen Lindsay. These are all guys that played against the Dynamo, Duke, and Daniel Shalloway. So that's a fair one. By the way, I want to thank the guys for on the Wheelhouse for letting me pop on there to talk about this. That's the beauty of having this show at the station. All the other hosts, when news breaks, they're pretty pretty accommodating when it comes to bringing soccer on the airwaves, because they know how much it means to the station. Yes, you can stream this show. Christopher says, this seems like it could be another attempt at doing what Tab was brought in to do, but this time with a guy who has experienced developing MLS talent. It could be a home run or Tab 2.0. Either way, Ted needs to back Pat and Paulo. That from Christopher. So the obvious one that some people have put out there as well is you could have given Tab Ramos a third year with more resources and 2 years of experience. Lava. And, you know, I'm trying to be very fair here, but most people are not pumped because I think most people wanted a bigger name. 713-780-3776, but I don't think you were destined to get that bigger name unless Jaime Lozano is that guy. Would Ezra Hendrickson been a bigger name? Pat Noonan? Pablo Mastroianni? You tell me. 713-780-3776. Lava says, not stoked. He's got a lot to prove. I don't think the patience for him will be there from an already anxious fan base. I think that's fair. There's a lot of pressure. But there's a lot of pressure on this organization in all facets of the business. I don't think there's any question. That's me speaking. Lava Spike Jones goes on to say, I hope I'm wrong, but this might go south in a hurry, and a lot of people will say, I told you so. Regardless, we'll be there for the team. Look, you got to give people an opportunity. And of course it's a risk, and of course it all comes with a question mark. I'm looking here. Araskina says, interesting. That's about all they said. Steven said, said it all along. Pat as a GM wasn't going to change anything. Well, I don't know why you think that. He has the ability to influence. Where are all the people with insight that the team was about to spend big money this offseason? Same blank, different year from Steven. Well, you heard John Walker the other day when he was on the show saying that the spend will be incremental. I don't think you're going to see, you know, the next coming of David Beckham signed by the Houston Dynamo. I don't think you're going to see Insigne. You heard Ted Siegel in the past mention he wanted to kind of get into above the middle of the league when it comes to hire. Now, according to our roster right now, and again, I'll take your opinion, 713-780-3776. Yes. So Marko Maric is gone. Steve Clark's in. I don't know what Steve Clark's getting. So Maric left. He was on a half million. Maxi Arruti's gone. He was on 1.2. So Dynamo had to overpay for him, quite frankly. He's probably on the salary he should be on now as he's signed for Austin FC. So Austin FC is going to get Arruti, I think, you know, kind of out of the bargain bin. He'll be a guy that's a spot starter. I don't know if he'll be a full-time starter in their system, probably come off the bench. Minor Figueroa gone in $157,000 against the cap. Darwin Quintero's been dropped. I'm saying you're going to save $900,000 on him. He was on 1.35 last year. I'm sorry that you got no return on. I hope Darwin Quintero, with the second life, comes in fit, comes in understanding his role, which I'm assuming is going to be off the bench. Can't be really anything else. I think we have a caller. Do we have any callers? 713-780-3776. Who do we got, Andrew?
We got our guy BK, Brad Kellner, on the line to talk to you more about this.
All right, Brad, what's going on, BK?
Hey, Glenn, big fan of the show, big fan of yours. You know that. I want to ask you this, though. I've heard you talking about the new coach, and obviously everybody's got differing opinions on what Nagamura is going to bring to the table. But in your mind, what feels like a realistic time frame for the Dynamo to be competitive again? I'm not necessarily talking about 06, 07 or their best team in the league. I'm just talking about like being a playoff contending type of team. What feels realistic in your opinion? What can these fans expect in terms of when the Dynamo can actually be in the playoffs again?
Yeah, that's a great question. BK, by the way, host of The Wheelhouse prior to this show. He's on every day. I'm on once a week. That's a real working man. But that's a great question. I here's what I would say right now. I wouldn't – look, Major League Soccer, BK, as you know, is a very forgiving league, okay, when it comes to getting into the playoffs. It's a forgiving league. We really have to be honest. You got to make the playoffs in this league. I would say next year what we want to see is an established – purpose of play, which I think was in the right direction under Todd Ramos for a while, but the team moving forward, and the team certainly is going to have a better record. I would like to see the team competing to get into the playoffs, you know, which is the seventh slot, right? I don't know if you're going to be able to flip this that quick. It's not going to be easy. The Dynamo are creating a lot of cap space. They have moved a lot of people. They did re-sign Vera, which one of my sources told me Matias Vera signed for double, and he was on $350,000 last year. I don't know how that could happen. That was prior to Pat Onstad being there. I think we have to look at progress both on and off the field and the overall culture and identity of the soccer club because it needs one. And I would assume there's going to be some changes in the front office too. I would think that's something that has to occur in the future as well, because you can't keep going on here and saying that we're all doing our best job here when we've had 15 seasons and won playoffs and neither of our teams are drawing well. Pretend is over, and the fans know it. That's why they haven't been coming to the games, and that's why we're hoping there's going to be a new rebirth here, and it starts with a new owner in Ted Siegel. And it starts with the new GM and Pat Onstad, and now it starts with the coach, Paulo Nagamura, whether you like it or not out there. I don't know. BK gone? BK, you there?
I'm still here, Glenn. I agree with you 100%. And look, you've obviously been around this club way longer than I have, but I know this fan base is passionate and excited about the game, and they've been dealt a couple of terrible hands over the years. So I'm hoping you're right, and I'm hoping we do see that progress sooner rather than later, because I don't think there's a lot of patience left in this city for this team anymore.
Well, you and Andrew were, you know, once I got off talking to you, obviously I still had my headset on because I was coming on the air in a few minutes, and I listened to your take on this as a soccer city, and you and Andrew are both correct, and I think Andrew used the word two words, powder keg. This is why it pains me, and it's hurt me over the years, and it's hurt a lot of people, because we know we could be like a Portland. And unfortunately, we've, you know, sadly had people that are not passionate soccer people running this team in the past. Now we have some new hires that are good hires. I like President John Walker. I think with the support of Pat Onstad, he's going to do good things. I know he cares passionately about the team, but there's other areas of the business that have to improve as well. And that's both on and off the field. And, you know, I want to see more passionate people around this game that want to turn this thing around. And, you know, it's not going to happen by pretending. You got to make moves, and you will have to spend and get some of the better people. And you do have to spend more money when you're at the bottom of the Western Conference and you're trying to turn things around. Guess what? You don't have a lot of bargaining power. You don't have a lot of negotiation power. And that also goes into the signing of a coach. Let's face it. You think Bob Bradley's thinking about coming to Houston, Texas? Of course not. This is the byproduct of years and years of low bar setting and not enough quality people. And I'm sorry. I have to say it because nobody else in this town will say it, has the guts to say it. Until we hurt, we're not going forward. So, with that, I'm going to remain optimistic heading into the new year. And you know what? Let's give Paulo Nagamura a chance. I can't tell you what he's like as a coach. I haven't watched him coach. I'll do some more homework because this one came out of left field for me, too. I wasn't really ready for this one. And frankly, he deserves the opportunity. He got the job. Obviously, Pat Onstad feels good about this. And these guys will work together. I think collaboration is the word you hear Pat use. But I do want to see some passion from people. And you know what? Houston soccer fans are educated. They haven't been treated in years past. And I'm not talking about last year and the year before. I'm talking deeper. Some of the people that are gone, they were not treated with respect. The understanding of the education level of the soccer fan in Houston was not treated with respect. The youth community, all these incredibly important pieces. You're not turning this around just with a coach and a general manager. You're going to have to revamp your attitude with the youth soccer community. You're going to have to improve your academy, and you're going to have to show us by putting players through to the first team. And, you know, my understanding, and I remember Tab Ramos telling me that there are some guys on the fringe that are ready to bust through and potentially be first team players. Now, the problem is when you're not making the playoffs, you don't have as much opportunity to blood some of these guys and give them opportunity. And I've mentioned this before on the show. Seattle went to Austin and I think played like four or five guys that were 19 and under, including a 16-year-old, right? You know, you're not necessarily able to do that now. Now, the Dynamo do have three international spots that are open. They have cut the fat on a Rudy, Quintero, guys like that. So I would say they've knocked about $2 million off their salary cap, maybe more. Ari Lassiter was on 240. He's been moved. So let's see. Alejandro Fuenmayor was out of contract. I don't think he's coming back. Michael Nelson's coming back, I think. Boniek Garcia is back in Honduras now. One more year for Adam Lundqvist, Memo Rodriguez, Zarek Valentin, Tim Parker. Parker's on 1.19. Mateo Bahamich. I mean, this was a signing that didn't work out. I'm sorry. I mean, I want it to work out. Maybe it'll work out in year two. I mean, $324,000 for Bahamich, and then we paid over $1 million to get him. It's not good business. And I could go down the line here and be pretty bold about some of the signings that the Dynamo have made in the past. It's been some good ones. There's a very good one in Teenage Adebi. I'm looking forward to him and Parker turning this thing up a notch. But to Pat Onstad and all of us, we all know this team needs a center forward, needs a playmaker at the top of their midfield, and it needs a defining, and I mean a defining, number six. That's not a position Matias Vera can play by himself. They need a man in that position. They need a João Paulo of Seattle. By the way, you're probably going, yeah, I remember him when he came to Houston and the Dynamo smoked him. He was terrible. He was terrible that night. He was so bad I couldn't believe it. I was on the broadcast with Eddie Robinson. We were looking at each other, rolling our eyes, because we had built him up in the pregame show to godlike status. Now, he is one of the top three holding midfielders in the league, no question. He just had a really bad night. Liverpool today, by the way, lost to Leicester 1-0. That's a huge win for Leicester. They were missing a ton of players. Southampton and Spurs 1-1. Salusi gets, in the 39th minute, a second yellow for Southampton. He gets sent off. He puts Spurs to the penalty spot. That is what you call a great example of how to undo the prior 38 minutes of good work for Southampton, who were totally outplaying Spurs, in my opinion. Harry Kane's still in a struggle. This guy, Salusi, wild tackles, concedes the penalty. It's just killer how one guy, in one moment, with one decision, can turn a game. Now, Manchester United was lucky to get a 1-1 draw with Newcastle. God, they were bad. First 45 minutes, atrocious. I mean, every single guy was giving the ball away at will. And that includes Cristiano Ronaldo. And moaning about fouls, it was not a good day for the Reds. They were fortunate to get a draw there. They're fighting for fourth place anyway. Because we all know the top three teams are going to be Manchester City, Liverpool, and Chelsea. All right, we're going to take a break here. By the way, I did not choose the Rolling Stones music tonight. This is all Andrew Carlston. But they are the world's greatest rock and roll band. We'll take a break here. Soccer Matters, ESPN 97.5, 92.5, presented by John Daspit and the Daspit Law Firm.
Years of research and innovation. Innovation Map is the new voice of innovation in Houston.
Pretty cool, huh, Morty?
Covering startups, tech, energy, health, social impact, and more. Visit innovationmap.com today.
Do it now! Do it! Do it! Do it now!
You're listening to Soccer Matters on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 92.5.
Brought to you by the Daspit Law Firm. From the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Glenn Davis.
All right, welcome back to Soccer Matters here on ESPN 97.5. As we continue on, the show is always presented by John Daspit and the Daspit Law Firm. And recent signing for the Houston Dynamo, he signs as a free agent. You saw him in the MLS Cup final for the Portland Timbers. He is goalkeeper Steve Clark. He joins us now. Steve, first off, happy holidays. Welcome to Houston. And where's your head at right now?
Man, it's been a whirlwind few days, but just so excited to get it announced, to make it official, say goodbyes to everyone in Portland, and also the welcome from the Houston fans, and the organization has been fantastic. So just a fun couple days, really.
Yeah, how emotional was that? Because not only, you know, playing in front of that rabid fan base in the Pacific Northwest, but this also comes off being in the MLS Cup final. It's a lot of heavy stuff going on there.
It's been a couple long weeks, and certainly getting so close to winning a cup. But you know, to be honest, I was ready to go. I think that chapter was closed, that era was over. You know, and not in a negative way, but the reality. I was ready to move. But we said got our good goodbyes, and you know, it's nice when you leave a place because I left a legacy there, and I mean that also on the field, but with people. I think you'll get to know me and my wife. We just really love people. We really love being in the community. So, you know, part of that was nice to hear from everybody in Portland, and also tell them how much they meant to us.
New Dynamo goalkeeper Steve Clark coming from the Portland Timbers. I want to go back to what you just said because that was very interesting. You kind of felt your time was up. What does that mean? Take us a little bit deeper into that because most people are going, wow, he's playing in front of packed houses. He's on a tremendous team in an organization with legacy and history. What does that mean?
Well, I just think like, so look, I was there for 4 seasons. You know, we won an MLS back. We went to 2 MLS Cups, 2 Western Conference Finals. You know, and as a player, when I heard about the Houston Dynamo opportunity, it's like I needed that fresh motivation. It was like fertile soil. You know what I mean? And I'm a player who you see the performances on the field, but for me, it's the passion is in the locker room with the teammates. You know, building a culture of winning, and you know, Pat just basically saying he's looking for a guy like me. He wants to install me to change this culture to get a real competitive culture and training, you know, that's something that I really live for. And again, it's nothing like negative towards Portland, but it's just the reality of this business. You know, it takes a lot of motivation and a lot of energy for me to be at my best. And I needed a new team to do that.
Yeah. I'm looking forward to digging into your career because I think it's amazing. The trials, the tribulations, the successes, the disappointments, all the things that come with a long career that you've put together. What were your conversations additionally with Pat Onstad like? Because, look, this is goalkeeper to goalkeeper when you're talking to him, right?
No, absolutely. Well, you know, Pat and I know each other really well. We were in the trenches for 3 years in Columbus. So we went through the highest of highs and the lowest of lows there. So, you know, he knows my character. He knows the effect I can have on a team. And then from our side, you know, the ownership group and Pat coming in and really the, you know, it's always fun to come in with a change of regime, a change of culture. And to be a part of that is something it's a lot of fun in your career. And I just couldn't say no to it.
Talking to Steve Clark, new Houston Dynamo goalkeeper, excited to see him here in Houston. Let me go into Oakland University in Michigan, which is one of the best kept secrets in the country when it comes to having a great soccer program. Just take me through, you know, being a Michigan bred guy, you grow up, you go to Oakland, which has got a big reputation locally, and what your college career meant to you.
Absolutely. Yeah. Oakland University. I was just at their basketball game versus Michigan State the other day with the head coach, who's a good friend of mine. I mean, a great soccer school. You know, I came out of high school, you know, not very heralded. So I walked on to Oakland and Eric Pogue, who's now the head coach. He was like the goalkeeper whisperer. He had great goalkeepers on either side of me. And it was a place where, you know, from a young age, I had a vision of, you know, what I wanted out of my career, like where I wanted to be. And Oakland was the place to go. And it was a great time. I was a student body president there before I left. So I squeezed everything out of Oakland I could. I had a blast, man.
So take me into, you know, simply, you know, being a guy that you said unheralded, you used the word, and this desire. You know, I see athletes these days, quote, hashtag embrace the grind, sure. You know, wrap your arms around it and all that stuff. I mean, that stuff really does apply to you when I look at your career, because you had a lot of ups and downs. You were undrafted. And then you said you had no backup plan. You're going to be a professional soccer player. And this is where it's come to 35 years old now and all the successes you had. Just take me into that attitude.
Well, you know, I don't necessarily look at it as ups and downs. I just look at it kind of the journey, and sometimes you're taking a right turn, sometimes you're taking a left. And as a goalkeeper, you know, I grew up in Mason, Michigan, in a smaller town, and it was different, you know, in 2000 and 2001. You know, there wasn't academies. So I was basically training, you know, in my backyard and walking, like I said, walking on to college. But really within me, there was just this deep intrinsic motivation to try to be the best goalkeeper I could be. And that's still here at 35. That was there at 16. I mean, and then, you know, when you face challenges in your career, it was just, for me, it was always the thinking of it's a matter of time before this changes. It had no bearing on my ability or certainly when I was playing for the Charleston Battery and before I went to Norway, it was very clear to me, I need new eyes on me. Like whoever's viewing me here in this country is not correct. Somebody's going to view me the right way because I really felt and believed in myself.
I like that. I need new eyes on me. Very interesting that you say that, because that's the truth. There was rumor that you lived in a tent off campus at Oakland University. Now I want to confirm this because I think this is pretty cool. Is that true?
Glenn, you did your research, man. You did your research.
You must have been the coolest guy on campus, man.
Yeah, that is true. I found myself like between housing and, you know, when you're 19 years old, the idea of living in a tent, camping out for a couple months in Michigan in the campus, it just occurred to me and I did it. You know, it was it's a story that I've gotten a lot of mileage out of the years, but it happened. It was I would just go to, you know, get out of the tent, walk to training, shower in the locker room, go to my class. I got great grades. I'll tell you, I got great grades that year because there was nowhere to, you know, there's no lights in the tent. So I'd study in the library, then go back and hang out. So it was, an interesting time.
That's an amazing story. I absolutely love it. Let's go on to Norway, and you helped the team gain promotion there. I mean, that's another thing that you have to look in your career, and I'm sure people bypass it, but to help a team gain promotion in that structure in Europe, that's a big deal.
It was a big deal. And that was my first year, you know, as the number one. And then the next year, you know, we fought off relegation for 2 years. So, and then I came back. So that experience was cutting my teeth over there. You know, that has a lot to do with why I'm still here and performing at the way I am. I mean, it was a really, really awesome journey over there. That's all I can say. I encourage any young player who wants to go abroad to give Norway a chance. It's a great league.
Talking to Steve Clark, new Dynamo signing goalkeeper, DC United Horsens. I hope I'm pronouncing this right. In the Danish Superliga, the Columbus Crew. Is it Hønefoss in Norway?
Hønefoss, yep.
Hønefoss in Norway. By the way, you share the same name with a guitarist from Def Leppard, Steve Clark. Do you ever get that? Because apparently you played the guitar in the tent.
Yeah, I don't play it as well as Steve Clark, the late Steve Clark, but I get people like tagging me on Instagram on his stuff all the time. Yeah, but he's certainly, you know, the true Steve Clark, the famous Steve Clark.
Now, are you a music guy? What's your music of choice?
No, I realized I didn't have much aptitude, so I left that in the college years. You know what I mean?
What do you listen to?
Oh, I like singer-songwriter. I like, I can do electronic music. I can do rap. I mean, I'm all over the map, you know, super, super eclectic. I do like live music, so I love to go to shows. That's kind of a hobby of mine. So obviously with the pandemic, it's been a little more difficult, but I'm looking forward to that in the future.
All right. You said you're a little eclectic with your musical taste. I would say you're a little eccentric as a goalkeeper. I always love doing games that you are in because I feel there's a bit of an entertainer in you a little bit as well, which makes to me the game a little bit more interesting. Is that fair to call you a goalkeeper? That, you know, goalkeeper coaches probably don't want to hear the word eccentric, but is that fair to say?
Well, you know, I think that part of my technique and the way I see the position is a little unorthodox. So there's some of that in there, but also, you know, when I play with a lot of passion and I leave everything out there. And, you know, perhaps some people might think that's an acquired taste, but, you know, I interact with the crowd a little bit. I'm just giving everything to that, the moment of the game. And sometimes that calls for different things for me. It certainly doesn't take away from my performance, but I do kind of see myself as a performer. And, you know, look, Glenn, you know, we're playing pro soccer. This is where there's pressure. There's media, there's criticism, but let's have some fun too. You know what I mean? This is a journey that's going to be short for everybody. So I'm soaking up every second of that game.
Yeah, I'm glad you said that because people think I'm way too serious. So you know what? I need to lighten up too. I appreciate that. And we're going to have a lot of fun with you being in town here. So let's talk about the goalkeeping position. And maybe, you know, you're a 35-year-old man now. That position has changed a lot through your lens in playing it. Tell me a little bit now, as we've progressed with the goalkeeping position, where you see it now and how you've had to change with it.
Well, I mean, certainly, if you've seen the trajectory of my career, like I played possession goalkeeper. Now at Portland, we were playing a little hybrid possession, but and also very direct. So, you know, I can play any style a coach wants. And I also have had to, just as the goalkeeping positions change, I'd actually like to add to that and say the MLS has gotten so much better that every year I've had to get better to stay as the top goalkeeper in this league. The quality of service, the quality of finishing, you know, the pattern of play. It's been, you know, when I came in 2014 to now, it's just, you can't even compare. And I think that one thing that I'm super proud of is raising my level as I've gotten older to match the level and hopefully supersede the level in the league and to be the player I am.
So what technical or maybe mental thing did you have to change maybe the most to continue on this ascent, like you just said, to keep up with the way Major League Soccer's changing? Because you just brought out a great point, because that's something certainly I've seen from calling games, is just the quality of delivery and service, just how much better it is, right, to your point, and that affects you.
Yeah, I think that the main change I've made probably since 2017 is just being really good at positioning and, you know, almost position, you know, if the cross is here, I'm positioning myself for the header that's going to be back post, and where are the strikers before the cross is coming? It gets really complex. You know, it's not just, okay, there's the ball, you know, let's have blinders on the ball. I'm watching strikers in the box. I'm setting myself in the goal relation to the ball and the striker. So, I mean, I could go on and on in a goalkeeping nerd out podcast for that, but positioning has been the biggest, you know, it's a real passion of mine. I think about it a lot. I watch a lot of film. I'm thinking through plays. Positioning really for me as a goalkeeper is probably the biggest piece.
You know, I once went through a book by Ted Williams called The Science of Hitting, and I kind of applied it to soccer. It's very, very interesting about some of the things. So what you're telling us in a way here is much like a midfielder, and we hear these big words now called scanning, which is sure. The ability of somebody to see situations and take these pictures, and they do it faster than others. You're doing that as a goalkeeper, I would assume.
Well, you see when, you know, if you're seeing a goalkeeper in form, you're seeing a goalkeeper calm enough to be scanning, basically. And so when a midfielder, he's talking about reading pressure and where's the pass, you know, as with the ball, I can be doing that. But a lot of times I'm doing that when I'm defending, you know, and that's a great word, scanning. So I know that when I'm in good form, you know, I know where strikers are in the box. I know even where I can put the rebound, you know, so, you know, and that stuff is like, you know, we're talking about the mastery of the position and a very deep level of goalkeeping. And that's what excites me.
Steve Clark joining us here with one or two more questions, and we're going to let Steve go. Have you taken a look at the two center backs in Teenage Hadebe? Obviously, you know, Tim Parker very well from your career in MLS. And I would think you're pretty excited to have those two guys in front of you.
Yeah, no doubt. It's always good to have some Clydesdales in front of you in this league, some big boys. And I mean, you know, the relationship with the center backs, again, is something that, you know, I thrived with that in Portland, thrived with that in Columbus, thrived with that in Honafoss with championships. So, I mean, that's to me, again, that's something that to build those relationships and, you know, share knowledge and how we want to play, get the understanding of in this position, in this way, I want you guys to defend like this. And what do you need me to do? And, you know, after some time, it becomes, you know, it's like a marriage, you know, you understand that person and how they defend and you count on them. And I mean, for me, that's super exciting to start those new relationships.
Well, Steve, a big welcome to you and your family coming to Houston, your wife as well. I think Houston's going to really like you. This interview is a great indication of a guy that's thinking deep. He's got a little entertainment in him and is also obviously an outstanding goalkeeper. So thank you for taking the time during the holidays to do this. And I'm sure everybody that listens to it is going to love to hear what you have to say.
Man, it was a pleasure. Thanks so much.
So that was new Dynamo goalkeeper Steve Clark. Fantastic interview. Appreciate him jumping on so quickly after his signing. It was all presented by John Daspit and the Daspit Law Firm. John and his firm presenting sponsors of Soccer Matters here on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Personal injury attorneys, if you get in an accident, car, boat, motorcycle, you might drive an 18-wheeler or work in a refinery, do construction, you got to call the Daspit Law Firm. They're bilingual. You call them at 713-322-HURT. 713-322-HURT. They are bilingual. The Daspit Law Firm, they're going to bring you a personalized approach. They'll work for you 24/7, nights and weekends, and you'll get the representation you need. Again, Daspit Law Firm, DaspitLaw.com. 713-322-HURT. They're bilingual. Stay with us. Second hour tonight here on Soccer Matters. We do some of the best of coming up.
ESPN 97.5.